Welcome back. This is TanTalkNetwork.com. And at the end of this broadcast, sometime this evening, we will have this show up on podcast right here on TanTalkNetwork.com. You can go to Living the Good Life and listen to it again. And also, it will be on our website soon. So we are glad to be back with you. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, along with my partner in crime here, Dr. Angel Falzoni, and actually one of my very best friends in the whole world. And we've been doing our Thursday night Go Yard show for 2.5 years, and we talked about that earlier on today on this show. But you want to invite people to listen Thursday night, and what might they find? Because we have a new topic.
We do. And yes, join us Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. on this station. And we have been really going through, you know, habits, good habits, bad habits, how to make them, how to keep them, which we should, how to evaluate. And we are going through on how to take some of those changes in our lives and move forward and not get stuck in good change, or and to be able to just keep going. So it's getting us unstuck from life.
Getting us unstuck. So that's going to be great. This Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. right here on this network, 106.1 FM, 104.3 FM, and 3 AM channels. On Saturday and Sunday, we are on StarcomRadioNetwork.com, and it is global, and it's across several cities, like 35, 38 cities across the United States, 8 or 9 countries. Every Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m., this show airs from the one we're doing right now. We'll be on this Saturday and Sunday on StarcomRadioNetwork.com, followed by our Thursday night Go Yard show at noon. So we like the schedule. I'm doing a Spanish show, too, that comes on before all of that. And so we just love doing this radio work, don't we, Dr. Angel? It's just fun. It's challenging and fun.
It is challenging. It is a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed this.
Oh, it's great. And, of course, we did not know this show was going to go this way. So, as we can often say. So, back to this whole point of this is how can I keep from singing your praise? The song we just did. We have to praise him because we thank him that he knows the beginning from the end. He knows what's needed in each of our situations. So much better than we do. We think we do, though. We think we know it all, right?
Of course we think we do. That's that human trying to keep control. We love control as people, as humans. It's a thing of our condition. And
yes,
we don't have control. It's a lie, first of all. And second of all, we need our Savior. We need that divine. We need God.
Oh, we need him. Absolutely. Absolutely. We were talking in the first hour about John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the road, the truth, and the life. Or in the King James, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the road, the way to heaven. He is the way to our future, our eternal life. And then he says in verse 6 of John 14, no one gets to the Father apart from me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him. You've even seen him. And Philip said, show us the Father. Then we're going to be happy, content. He says, you've been with me all this time, Philip. You still don't understand. To see me is to see the Father. And I think so often, Dr. Angel, people have separated in their minds Jesus that came to this earth and did all this amazing things, but they don't see that he only did what the Father told him to do or what he saw the Father doing. You know what I'm saying? The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which one of the best examples I know of that is water, H2O. Every atom of water is, I mean, its molecule is 2 parts hydrogen, 1 part oxygen, but it's all the same, every molecule, but water has forms of ice, liquid, steam, still all water, mm-hmm. Still the same molecules, make it up, just different forms. Same with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is the manifestation on earth, came to earth to show us the Father. Why did he want to show us the Father, the nature of the Father? Why is that important as we talk about all that we're talking about today?
Well, you know, first of all, Jesus had to pave the way for us to have access to the Father, and that happens
yes.
through salvation.
Yes.
But I think, you know, apart from Christ, apart from God, we really can't do anything that we think we can do, it changes our life from the inside out. And it's the character. I mean, it's the character of God. From the cover to cover of scriptures, God is the same. His character is the same. Who he is the same. And the same for Christ. And I think for me just personally that one of my biggest prayers is, let them see you, Lord, when they look at me. Like, because I want my life to be, exemplify who God is and who Christ is, and not let my, own humanness kind of get in the way. And, it's easy to do that. And I think we still today get stuck like how people did in scripture times, or we get stuck in that legalism and you got to do this and you got to do that to go to heaven. And Jesus just said right here, it's me.
Yeah.
It didn't say, you can't, don't be drinking, no partying, don't, have no divorce. He didn't say that here.
He did not. It's all about him and his nature. And his nature is love. God is love. And Jesus came to show us the Father. And the truth of that, the way, the truth, and the life. When we get to the point that we understand heaven, we understand going, needing salvation for our sins and all that, we get to a point in our spiritual condition where we decide we want to really understand and know God in a deeper way. You know what I mean? The truth of him, his essence, and what he's like, and Jesus, and Philip says, show us the Father. And Jesus said, you've been seeing me. Talk to me about that. Because that's where I think so often people separate. They have a mental image of God the Father, like an old, mean,
punitive,
yes, grandfather, that's getting ready to slam you on the head the minute
waiting
you...
for you to mess up so you can get that proverbial hammer thrown over your head. And, that was a view I grew up having of God, very much so, from the types of churches we attended. And so that whole grace thing was so foreign to me. And in fact, that was one of the things that started preempting me to really find God for myself, was I sat in a service where they talked about God having grace. And I just was like, all right, somebody's lying to me because this isn't adding up. The God I grew up with was, he's the one who blew the bowels off of Ananias and Sapphira. He was the one who, had the babies. Knew all those stories.
We knew the bad stories.
All of a sudden I heard this concept of grace and I was like, okay, I need that. And I need to know if this, who really is this God? And that's when I went on this quest of letting God show me who he was instead of taking everybody's perceptions and perspectives.
You got to say that again. Letting God show you who he was. And he did it by sending Jesus to this earth. But that is huge. We're going to talk about what you mean by that right after this song. And this song is probably going to help establish that. And I've played it a lot lately, but I'll probably just keep on playing it a lot because it just says what I want to say. Good, good Father. By Chris Tomlin, and here it is.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. Searching can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call.
Good Father, you're perfect in all of your ways. Good, good Father, never once does it say that you're always trying to beat me down and beat me up. Doesn't say that anywhere.
Not at all. Not at all.
Don't you love that?
I do.
Gets down on the inside of you, doesn't it? I find myself singing that song a lot because it reminds myself that he's got all the best in store for me. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes all things to work to good, together for good, to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That's who he is, and we love him. And so because of that, God's going to make everything work out. And dear listeners, some of you are going through all kinds of awful stuff. And I think that God has arranged today for you to hear how especially Angel and me too have walked through some tough times, but have learned the nature of God in a dramatic way because we went through the tough times, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I've learned to cling on the hem of his garment. I mean,
right. There
were just moments in my life where that's all I could grab. I didn't have my own strength, and I did. And in a spiritual sense, I did. And he's there.
He's there.
No matter how it works out in the human view, I know in the spiritual view, it is the best way it could have worked out.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Regardless of the human aspect of it.
Because
right.
There were times that, you know, I lost a job and in the human view, this was not a good thing. And did I just pop into another job? No. But in the spiritual view, what was happening inside of me during that time that I had no job,
right,
and you knew me then,
yeah,
was so much work.
Right.
That he was doing inside of me. And so in the human view, it doesn't always work. You know, God's not Santa Claus.
Right.
And in our human perspective, it may not be working the way we want it to, the way we want it to, how we want it to. But I know in his perspective, it is working perfectly.
I agree with you entirely. Take us back to that time when you were diagnosed with uterine cancer and kind of what God was doing in you through that process. You said it was a 2-year process.
It was, because it took a while to get a full diagnosis of what it was. My symptoms were not easy to diagnose because they had misdiagnosed it earlier and treated it as something different. So what happened was they grew the cancer by the way that they had treated it previously. They
put
too many hormones in my body. Estrogen totally grew it. So by the time they figured it out, and it was, they did not figure out that diagnosis. I was in surgery within like 2 days from diagnosis to surgery.
Okay.
So it was like all of a sudden that last lab came back and they're like, this is cancer we've got. And boom, that whole surgery went from a different type. They were going to do an epilation where they warm up the uterus to it's everything's got to come out. And
Wow. Then
they had to go back in and do exploratory and make sure that they got, and it was a mess. And oh my gosh, I had no time to process. I personally wanted to have more kids. So it was a devastation of devastations for me.
Right.
Because I lost, my biggest dream was to have a little girl. Oh. And
you have three sons.
It was not going to happen. And it was the devastation. The whole thing was a devastation. Like, what's going to happen to my kids? What's going to happen to me? Like, holy cow. Yeah, that was a hard time.
Really wow. Hard. Where was God in the midst of this?
He was right there in the midst of it. And it was amazing because, you know, I was with my husband at the time and totally not supportive, totally was very frustrating. I didn't have family. I remember it was one of the times in my life I called my mother on the phone and begged her to come down and be with me.
Right.
And she said she wouldn't.
Wow.
And I did it, you know, and I did it with God. And he was there every moment. I remember waking up from surgery and just, I woke up praying. Like, wow. Just happy that I woke up and, okay, God, whatever we're going to walk, we're going to do this together. And I'm going to fight as much as I can. And if the fight's done, just let me know.
Wow. Amazing. So often people disappoint us. And, you know, in the big scheme of things, we look back and we know it's probably the best thing that they did because we drew closer to God, and we would not have drawn close to God if we would have had that kind of human support that we thought we needed at the time. I've been through situations like that a lot in my life, and I know just seeing how that just affected you to mention that about your mother. Extremely hurtful. Mm-hmm. And some people in our audience have probably had people in their lives that they relied on, that they were hoping would be the one that would be there beside their bed when they came to out of a surgery, or would not leave them, and or would, you know, whatever the case may be. This is a common thing, and it hurts it when humans let us down. The thing that we learn through it is that God never lets us down. He never lets us down. He is always right there. He was with you when you came out of surgery.
You know, the amazing thing, too, was I think the surgeon really felt sorry for me because she could tell I was pretty much in this by myself. And she asked me what music I want to play during surgery. Now, I'm out. I wouldn't have known if they played or didn't play. But I asked her to play an Amy Grant CD for me. And
they
took my iPod and played it during surgery. When I woke up, was recovering, that's what was still playing.
That is so cool. That's one reason you love Amy Grant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. That is so cool. In the process of going through our human pain and suffering, we learn his greatness and his power and his closeness and his friendship. And we learn truth. Don't we?
We do. We learn truth who he is.
Yes.
We learn truth about who the
ourselves.
People are that
people
are in our
are.
Lives.
That's
we learn
right.
truth about ourselves. Well, I learned a lot of truth during that experience. That's for sure. That is
Excuse
honest.
Me. Yeah. And you know, when that happens, yeah, it's disappointing. Been there, done that. And have been abandoned so many times I can't begin to tell you in different situations. But always the closeness that develops when you allow God to be your strength. You know, there's nothing like it.
There isn't anything like it. And, you know, and it was during that time that, you know, I was sick, and I was so sick during the recovery. And then when they started the chemo, I was so sick. I went down to like 90 something pounds, and I'm not a small girl. So that was, I was very sickly.
Right.
But I had all that time to soak in the word of God. And
yes.
I would, from the time I could get my kids to school, I'm sitting in, you know, treatments at the hospital for hours and hours and hours, reading my Bible and just soaking in the word of God and listening to my iPod. And like, it was an amazing spiritual building time for me that God kind of carved out those couple of years to get me alone with him.
Wow.
And really, really develop that closeness.
And that's what happens. And all we can say is, God, you know better. You know what you're doing here. And I may not understand it at all, but I'm going through it, and I'm going to get through it.
That's just it. I mean, I remember I'm going to fight as long as I have a fight in me.
Right.
And when it's done, it's done. And I did. I fought. And, you know, yes, it's even like today, I still feel pay the effects of going through
sure,
that because my
absolutely.
Immune system took such a hit that, you know, I have a hard time staying healthy, and my bones break all the time. They're easy
right.
to break because of all those treatments. But No one will ever be able to take away the closeness I gained from God through all of that.
Wow. Wow. And so we just have to learn. We have to learn that no matter what the situation is, we can develop an amazing trust in His presence in our lives. And we can learn to really overcome. I mean, overcome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's funny because, you know, as things hit me in life now, and things do hit me, and they'll take me down a little bit, but it doesn't usually take me down too long before I'm like, all right, God, we've been through things bigger than this. You've got this. Like, right. I know you've got this. I'm not even going to let it torture me or take me down or make me, like, I don't know. It's weird because, you know, when you've gone through it and gone through it and God's been there and the ways He's been there,
yes.
It's like, okay, I know you're gonna get this too in some way. I know you're going to do it.
Right. And so think back about all that as you're going through that. And at the time, do you recognize that this is part of God's process for us? Did you feel like you recognized that?
Not in the moment when I was going through
right.
it. In the moment, I was angry. I felt
right.
abandoned, not
right.
from God, but from the people that I really needed to have in my life. In the moment, there was a lot. I mean, the loss. When I came out of surgery, I had a friend who was having a grandbaby at the time, and a couple months later, and she wanted me to shop with her, and I went into the baby department of Target, and I cried. I just
yes.
couldn't even do it because the loss was so, even though it wasn't a real loss, it was a loss of dream in my head.
Right.
It took me a bit to get over that, but as I was going through everything and just growing with God, I just learned, okay, this, I'm trusting you. I'm
right.
trusting you.
Yeah. That's what it's all about, learning to trust Him. And you know that someday one of those three sons of yours is going to give you a beautiful granddaughter, right?
Whatever they have will be a blessing.
Well, I mean, God has a way of making things up to us in an amazing way, you know? And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So that's where we're at with this. Yes. So good. So good. So you got through that.
Mm-hmm.
And you were about how old at that point?
Oh, gosh. Well, I was getting close to my mid-30s. Well, probably about 33, 34, about 34, probably when I was finished with all of that. But during that is when I realized that I had a very bad marriage and very unhealthy marriage. And I had to make new changes in my life for my kids and myself. So then I started ushering in.
Wow.
You know, that phase of my life, which was very challenging as well.
Sure. Absolutely. Okay. I want to play the song Everlasting God because it came to me as we were talking a few minutes ago about strength arises as I wait upon the Lord. You know, talk to me about that before we do this song.
It absolutely does. All that time I would spend in waiting for doctor's appointments or sitting in treatment and had my, you know, listening to the Bible audio, reading the Bible, listening to praise and worship. I'm telling you, the strength that was built in every single one of those tiny moments
right.
has been so amazing.
Mm. So I think this song is going to speak to your heart. It certainly does mine.
We will wait upon the Lord.
Wow, praise God. He is our everlasting God. He's our good, good Father. How can we help from keep from singing his praise? We can't.
Can't.
Want to go down to verse 15 of John chapter 14. And Jesus is talking. He says, if you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. You know, and that is so true. If we really love God, let's do what he's asked us to do. He's asked us to love others. He's asked us to love God with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. Love our neighbors, ourselves. In fact, the young lawyer came to Jesus in Luke 10 and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, how does it read to you? And he said, well, the way I read it is I'm supposed to love the Lord my God with my heart, my strength, my mind, everything, and my neighbors, myself. And he said, yeah, do that. You're going to live. And I think where a lot of times it breaks down is that people get so down on themselves. We've touched on this show, but I don't feel like we're done with that point. People get so down on themselves that it's hard for them to really love themselves. And then therefore it's hard to love others. And when we're going through difficult times like marriage issues and relationship issues and rejection from mothers and fathers and family members and then just being ill or whatever the case might be, you can get to such a place of condemnation. You can get to such a place of defeat that you don't know how to crawl back out of that. And I want you to address that from your own life and because we've got to learn to love the Lord with all that is within us, and we've got to love ourselves too, and others too.
Absolutely. And yeah, right. It is easy to let life take you down and be angry. And you can be justified in disappointment and frustration, right, and anger. But that is destroying us from the inside out. It's toxic.
It is.
I know we talk about it on A Good Yard, toxic emotions.
Toxicity, yes. Yes.
You know, and when you can justify it, it makes it even more dangerous because it's really easy,
right,
to want to go down that path.
Right.
And, you know, I know for me, I started going down that path very easily. And many times it was like, okay, I can let this make me miserable.
Right.
Or I can, you know, let something good come from this.
And, right.
You know, and I chose, it was a choice. Sometimes it was a daily choice to not accept those negative reactions that were normal and human and very, very, very justified. And just, okay, God. And so I found when I would get triggered and wanting to start feeling sorry for myself or angry at something as, okay, I am going to, you know, that's when I put the praise and worship music on. My iPod was my, like, living well for years because it was only full with Christian music and that was
right.
What that brought me up when I felt down. That showed me truth when I couldn't see it in that moment. And that
right.
was, I didn't go anywhere without an iPod and some earphones.
And I think that is a huge part of victory for the Christian's life, is learning to control that mindset that wants to take you down the path of fear, of worry, of what if this happens, then the what ifs. That path is never good.
The what ifs. And those are a big trap.
Yeah. And we've got to control where our mind goes. You know, so many, I think we have a culture now where we're absorbed with things that can occupy our mind so we don't face facts or whatever, video games or whatever the case may be. I mean, anything can be one of those things that preoccupies us and keeps us out of what God is saying for us, right?
Absolutely. And when we can take those same tools and use them to grow a relationship with God,
yeah.
We have amazing tools in front of us. Fill it with, like, I love that I have my Bibles on audio. I can listen to the Word of God in my ears.
Right.
And when I'm not feeling it the most is when I need to do it the most.
That's exactly right.
It changes my attitude. It changes, like, I can go start my day off feeling really crappy, kind of come into work with a bad attitude and put some praise and worship in my ears. And within a few minutes, like, I got a smile on my face and, you know, a spring in my step. It's not me. It's the God in me.
But you've lived it. You've known.
Yes, I do.
What it feels like when you allow yourself to go down the slippery slope into depression, anxiety, worry, Graham Cook said, I read it recently, faith and anxiety cannot exist in the same place at the same time. Mm-mm. You want to talk about that?
Well, you can't worry and believe that everything's going to be great while you're worrying, because they're the opposites of each other. And
right.
We can't. And so if we're worrying, we're not having faith. And how do you build your faith? You build it by hearing the word of God.
Yes.
And
yes.
singing the word of God. You know, so many praise and worship songs are scriptures put to music.
That's all they are. Yeah.
It's getting that word of God inside of you where it's living and active.
Absolutely. And that's what I hear you saying through this whole show, that regardless of the difficult blows in life that you've had to deal with, you have chosen in the crossroads moments to take it God's way and to rely, to lean back in his arms. You know that old game we used to play at parties or whatever, you know, how much do you trust or whatever?
Oh, yes,
somebody
yes.
falls back into some, right? Do you want to describe that? You know what I'm talking about.
The trust game. We do those activities with jobs and stuff. They're trying to work on group cohesion where somebody is to fall back and everyone's supposed to catch them and they're supposed to trust their team.
Right.
Yeah, I was not one that could do that in the human at all, period.
Right.
But I have learned to do it in the spiritual with God. And I can't tell you, there's too many humans I would trust to fall back on, but there is a God that I absolutely 100% know I can.
Yes. Wow. So here you are a few years after some of these major life events. Trusting God is a moment by moment thing. It's not once you arrive, you're there, you get a certificate and you never have any more problems. Talk to me about all that, Dr. Angel.
There is no arrival, and you learn that problems grow faith. And so when you're in a problem, because once you've seen the pattern, I've had this problem, God's taken care of it and grown me, I've grown in faith. For me, I had to do it quite a few times before I really caught the pattern.
Yeah, me too.
Me too. But now I know the pattern. So when I see a problem, I'm like, okay, God, here we grow again. Like, it's almost
here we grow again, right.
Little tinge of like excitement, like, okay, God's going to be doing something in all of this because I know it's out of my hands. And so because I've experienced it enough, I can catch it in the beginning, and it's almost like, people are looking at me like, are you crazy? You got all this going on. No, I know he's going to intervene where he needs to intervene, when he needs to intervene. I know it.
Graham Cook also says you need a problem to grow your faith, right? And faith leaks out, you know, just because of the nature of what it is. Because we can be faith-filled right now and be hit by five things this afternoon and be stumbling around. God, where are you now? Where'd you go? What's going on? You know what I mean? We
Absolutely.
Have got to stay faithed up. Cindy talks about being faithed up a lot, and that is so important. And it's not something that happens once a year.
No, it is something that happens every day. And it's, what are we choosing to feed? What are we feeding? You grow, you know, what you feed, you grow. We
That's
teach
right.
this principle. It's a therapy principle. It's a biblical principle.
It
cause
is.
And effect.
It is.
What you feed grows. What you starve dies. Are you
right.
feeding faith? Then you're growing faith. Are you feeding anxiety? Then you're growing anxiety.
Right.
We feed anxiety when we're talking about the worries. We're on the phone with this friend. Then we have to call this friend. And then we have to call this friend.
Right.
And we're just totally talking about it all the time. We're feeding those worries. And that's the human thing. People just got to tell everybody all the worries.
Right.
And, you know, it's okay to bounce and be able to, you know, purge of worries. But then we got to start feeding that faith.
Right.
If we want faith to come and faith arise, you know, you
right.
got to feed it.
Strength arises as we wait upon the Lord. Talk to me more about that whole concept we just heard.
Well, when we're waiting on the Lord, we're expecting. You know, you go to the doctor, you're sitting in a waiting room. You're not just waiting for nothing. You're expecting the doctor to come in and give you a remedy to whatever's going on or help you in some way. Waiting is expecting.
Right.
And, yeah, when we're expecting from God, we're growing in faith.
Right.
We're looking for God instead of looking at the problem. We're looking, you know, at the spiritual, the higher.
Exactly.
It's a perspective.
When both of us carried my three kids and you carried your three kids individually, we were expecting there to be a delivery and a child to be born, right?
Absolutely, because that's what we're expecting.
Right. So often I think where we go wrong as humans is we expect the worst, because we think if we get to that mindset of, well, this will never work out, then we're not disappointed when it doesn't work out.
Yeah, we have a hard time with disappointment. And, you know, it does stink. I mean, it's not like, oh, yeah, I get to be disappointed again. But and you learn. If you sit back in disappointment, you kind of can learn. Maybe I put trust somewhere I shouldn't have put trust. Maybe, you know, I'm expecting something from somebody that they can't give me.
Right.
You know, and it's helped me change how I relate to certain relationships.
Right. Yeah. Because I'm divorced, you're divorced. There's been disappointment. You know, I got married for life when I got married.
So did I.
You know, that was like, wow, this is the most wonderful thing in the whole world, you know. And then things happen, as we both said, things happen. And you get to a point where people let you down.
Yeah.
And sometimes things are not salvageable, even though we'd like for them to be salvageable. And they are not, because lines are crossed and things happen.
Yep.
So as a result of that, we have to decide if we're going to beat ourselves up back to that point and be condemning and full of anxiety about the future, or if we're going to trust that God has a way that this somehow is going to be good for my life.
Absolutely. And that's a choice. We have to actively choose. You know, and with that, we have to be guarded with who we tell our stuff to.
Oh, my. Because that's why you're telling the whole world today, right?
But I don't usually, I'm not super open person. And I'm very calculated on purpose, because I've been that experience where I've shared things and have gotten very negative reactions.
Right.
Where it changed my own thoughts and feelings. And it was, you know, God was taking me in a route, and somebody, I took other people's opinions that kind of roadblocked that for a time in my life. And I've learned, I've let other people get in between God and I.
Yes.
And I can't do that.
No.
So I am very calculated with who I share
what
with. And
we
need to be.
Right. Very important. Because a lot of times our experience is not something that's understood by someone else.
And we don't know, they don't know what God's got for us.
Right.
They don't have the picture on the puzzle box. God's got it.
So what do you say to the person, Angel, that is listening to all this today and says, I hear that you've both gone through a lot, okay? But somehow your faith in God has gotten stronger, not weaker. I want that. What do I do?
You hold on to him and you don't let go. It's like the angel. I love that story in Genesis where Jacob held on to that angel. He's like, I am not letting go until you bless me.
That's exactly right.
That was the tenacity I held on with.
Yes.
I use those words.
Yes. Yes. And so God loves that. You know, he loves that when we are that tenacious, to use that word again. When we are that stuck on getting through to the blessing of God and not settling for the enemy wreaking havoc in our lives or whatever the case may be, or other people or whatever, where we're going to see a blessing. It's interesting that the show's gone like this today, because I was driving here and I kept hearing in my spirit, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came to give you life and to give it abundantly. In the Amplified Bible, it says there, till it overflows. Till you got so many blessings, you can't believe it. Today, I got a text from my dear Enrique down in Mexico. And it's in Spanish, but I will. It was really beautiful. And let me see if I can translate it as I go here. It says, today I was thinking about you, and I asked God that he would open the windows of heaven and pour out an abundant blessing upon you, and that you have a beautiful day. You can hear it. I've got that on a text here. And that is what God wants for us. You know, that he opened the windows of heaven, that we desire that for each other, that we desire to walk in the blessing of God. And we are blessed when, through the trial, we learn his nature, that he is a good, good father.
Absolutely. That's the blessing. You learn. You have relationship. It is no longer who other people tell you God is, or what you grew up thinking God is. You know God because he's your friend.
Yeah.
He's walking with you. He's doing this journey of life with you, and you are talking to him and learning about him and growing. It's like any relationship, you know, we don't, you know, meet a somebody we want to spend the rest of our life with, go on a couple of date every Sunday and think we're going to be building this lifelong partnership. That's, you know, when we, people who go to church on Sunday, a lot of times they're not in with God Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday,
right.
you know,
exactly.
Saturday.
Right.
It's a Sunday to Sunday kind of
right.
thing, or a holiday to holiday kind of thing. And God, he just wants to be there every day.
Every day.
You know, he can be God in the shower. And God in the Walmart. I tell people I need God more in Walmart sometimes than I need him in other places. But it's true. And that's just it. It's the everyday.
It's the everyday. And he wants to do some impossible things in our lives. Things that it seem improbable. Things that seem like total miracle possibility. That's not going to happen. Not me. Blah, blah. Listen to this song, and then we're going to talk to Dr. Angel. And golly, I can't believe our 2 hours is almost over. Love this song, one of my new favorite ones. Chris Tomlin, Danny Gokey, Impossible Things. This is for you, dear friend. Claim it.
You healed a brokenhearted. You set the captive free. You lift the heavy burden.
Love that song. Love that song. Heal you the brokenhearted.
You set the captive free. Set us free, yeah. You lift the heavy burden. And even now, you are lifting me. See.
Even now, he's lifting you, dear one. We want to pray for you right now. Lord, we just thank you for our listeners, wherever they might be around this globe. And Lord, we thank you that you, even now, are lifting us up out of despair, defeat, discouragement, worry, anxiety, panic, whatever's going on in our listeners' lives right now. Some are ill, and Lord, we speak your healing touch into their lives, physically, mentally, emotionally. Lord, you have engineered this show in a mighty way today, and I believe that many will be helped by the words that have been spoken, the concepts that have been taught, and the fact that, Lord, you are our source. You're our good, good Father, and you can do impossible things, and it just makes us want to praise you. God, we just love you so much. We want to thank you for the difficult moments, because in those difficult problems that we have, we see your provision. We see your promises come true. We see that you do fulfill your word to us. So, Lord, we pronounce a blessing on our audience, and we ask, Lord, right now that there would be a quickening in each of them, that they will desire to be all that you would have them be. We give you the glory and the praise for this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 That song just does something to me, Dr. Angel, every time I hear it. You do impossible things, because it just boosts my faith, because he does.
He does. He does. He does so many impossible things, you know, and it's been amazing. It is really, it's amazing to watch God work.
It is. So here we are. At this point in your life, you've learned a lot. You've gone through a lot. You want to sum up what we've been talking about today, or just share whatever you feel like sharing?
Well, you know, it's easy in the moment when you are in the middle of the crisis, when you're in the middle and you're in the pit of despair. I remember I felt like I was in such a pit. I remember feeling like I was breathing out of coffee straws. Like I felt like I couldn't even get a good breath in.
Wow.
And I found those verses of God's promises, and I held on to those so tight.
Yes.
And one that's so special to me is Isaiah 61:3. And
yes.
I don't know what I'm out of. I think maybe the NIV, but he says, where it talks about, I'm going to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes.
Yes.
You know, the oil of gladness instead of mourning.
Amen.
The garment of praise instead the spirit of despair.
Yes.
They will be called oaks of my righteousness, a planting of the Lord. That was it. That was what I felt. I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel despair, and he's going to give me this garment of praise. Like, that's his promise.
That is.
Written contract form to us.
We've never discussed this, but this is part of my life message, is those verses, Isaiah 61:1-5, because God has used that to call me into the ministry, you know, a long time ago, and he's brought those verses back over and over again. That's very interesting that's part of your life.
Beauty for ashes.
Beauty for ashes, yes.
It's in my life tattoo.
Oh, my. That's right. I've seen it on your ankle. Yes. Praise God. So no matter what it is we're going through, and it appears that sometimes it feels like it's ashes, and sometimes it feels like it's all going up in smoke, our whole life, God turns it around.
He can. All we have to do is seek him. That's it. Just seek.
You make it sound too easy.
It is. You know, Matthew, if you seek him, you will find him.
Yes.
We have to seek. We have to ask. We have to knock. And, you know, I know when I read it out of the Amplified, it's ask and keep on asking. Seek
it is.
And keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. It's not a one-time thing.
That's right.
It's like our kids when they want something. Mommy, 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 mommy.
Right.
That's how we need to be with God. You know, daddy, 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 I need you. I need you.
Exactly.
You know, he's there. He's there.
So as we've gone through these things in life, and we will continue to go through things, it's not, like we said earlier, does not end at a certain age or a certain point in time. We continue to learn. But hopefully, through things like this show, we are able to share our life experience and share that God has met those needs and has shown up and has provided and has taken care of the health issues, the financial issues, the job issues, the kid issues, the marriage issues, whatever they might be.
Absolutely. And he's done it perfectly in his way.
Perfectly.
You know, and it's, we are in the refiner's fire, and that's what each thing we go through. It's I think about it. We are just being refined a little more
refined
each time, and we aren't fully refined till we see him face to face in heaven.
Oh, amen. So true and so true. And I thought we were going to teach on heaven today. I honestly did. I had a conversation with my sister Karen yesterday, and I said, tomorrow I think I'm teaching on heaven. And we didn't go there at all because God had another plan. But you know what? That's what we're all about here, Beacon of Hope, and that is going with the plan that God has. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
And you ministering the way you have today, Angel, has been a real blessing to, and will continue to be a blessing to countless numbers of people for many years as these broadcasts are out there. We encourage people to join us Wednesday night at Bible study in Clearwater. You're almost always there.
Yep.
We meet in the Red Roof Inn, 3580 Almerton Road. And a couple years ago, God said, it's time to give up your building, and we did that. And so we're kind of like nomads in that way, that regard. But it's okay. We continue to be blessed every Wednesday night for Bible study, worship, and praise. And then we've started this new Facebook Live thing. Has that been a blessing to you?
Oh, I have loved Facebook Live. And one of the things I love about it is I can go back and watch it during the week. You know, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I love doing it. And so we try to do it every Wednesday at 7:30. This past Wednesday I was ill, but normally we do it Wednesday nights at 7:30. Come on and just go to my posts, Marcia McAllister, and that's spelled weird, I know, or go to Beacon of Hope and you can find it. And we love just sharing, bringing it down into a practical experience, 15, 20 minutes max, and sharing the word. I think we're talking about heaven this week, but again, I don't really know. So we're going to trust God, right?
Absolutely, Angel, always.
You have some final words for us today?
You know, no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, no matter how you're feeling about it, you know, just reach out. Just reach out. He's right there. He's going to walk you through
it. Amen.
Trust him.
Trust him.
Just trust him.
Boy, that's been kind of the message of this whole show, hasn't it? That no matter how life is done and no matter how difficult things have been and how traumatic and fearful events were, you have been able, and I have too, just to overcome and keep moving on. And just we're more than conquerors through him who loves us, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
You are indeed a blessing. And what a wonderful show to have in our archives of what God has done through you. So we're sorry that we couldn't get the phone connection to work for Cindy, but we'll see Cindy on the air again soon. And 6:30 Wednesday nights at Beacon of Hope. If you're interested, go to our website, bohmglobal.com. Check out hundreds of shows. And join us Thursday night for Go Yard. Right here at 6:06 p.m. And we will be talking about changing habits.
Yeah, we're talking about change. When life
change.
Brings some change, how to embrace that change.
How to embrace it. Dr. Angel and I will be right here. Johnny on the spot, 6:06 p.m. this Thursday night. Join us Facebook Live, 7:30 on Wednesday night. And so it is not far to Jesus. Did you know that? God bless you. This has been Dr. Angel Falzone and me, Pastor Marcia McAllister, bringing you the word from Beacon of Hope Ministries today. God bless you. Have a great week. If you have prayer requests, send them to prayers at bohmglobal.com, and we will send out a request for you. Prayers at bohmglobal.com. Have a great week. See you right here, same time, 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon next week. God bless you. It's not